So I was standing outside my daughter's kindergarten classroom. I'm in the hallway. There's a little table set up there. And I'm standing out there one Friday morning because I would go volunteer semi-regularly a couple times a month to play some games with a few of the kids. We'd play some number games and have some fun together. And so a few of the kids were coming out, and this Friday morning, Sam came out. Sam was always really fun. Sam liked to shake hands at age 4. So Sam came in. I'm like, hey, Sam, gave him a handshake. And that's when I realized that Sam's hand was wet. And I said, Sam, buddy, why is your hand wet? And he looked at me and he said, I don't know. At which point I let go of Sam's hand and felt very uncomfortable. Why am I telling you this story? Because today we are talking about financial resilience, which means we're talking about money. And for a lot of us, understandably, this topic can give us the same feeling as though we are shaking a 4-year-old's wet hand, right? We can talk about money. It can be tricky. It can feel odd. It can be uncomfortable. It can feel intrusive and maybe even a little bit gross. And if I'm honest with you, even figuring out how to share about this, how to teach from this, has been a tricky process for me. But the truth is, avoiding this conversation around financial resilience, and by extension, avoiding the conversation around money, won't actually help us in any way. It won't help us grow in financial resilience. We will face trying financial times. We will have financial challenges. So how can we prepare for them? What can we do to be ready for them? How can we be financially resilient? How can we, as we've been talking about in this series, prepare for financial challenges? How can we prepare to grow in financial resiliences? How can we even improve our lives, and better yet, even improve our relationship with money? And so, as we try to answer those questions, I want to state first and foremost that I'm not up here because I have this all figured out or practice this perfectly, right? I'm not speaking today because I do all of this right all of the time. But the truth is, as for many of us, it is far easier for me to talk about this than to live it. I am still, as we are, growing and failing and learning in what God teaches us in these things. But what I do want to share today are some of the truths that I've come to know about how financial resilience has everything to do with trusting God, how it starts and continues and ends in trusting God, and that the teachings of Jesus and the teachings in the scriptures around money are not only beneficial, but that they can be trusted and used to nurture the kind of financial resilience that I want to talk with you about today. So you can think about this sort of as I am just one beggar talking to other beggars about where to find some food. So today, we're not listening to Jamie, right? We are trying to listen to Jesus and to what God says to us about our money and about our financial resilience. And one thing that God speaks very plainly and clearly to us about resilience in general is that it comes from Him, that we find that strength in Him for life. I want to read just 2 verses right now to help us settle into that truth, because it's going to direct us through the rest of this. I want to read it because I think it's significant for helping us understand how resilience grows in regards and in respect to finances. So this is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul writes this to his church there. I pray that out of God's glorious riches, that He may strengthen you, He may strengthen you, giving you resilience, strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. And those words, their inner being, those are the Greek word esso, which refers to the inside of something. It refers to the innermost or central part of something, or in our case, the innermost part of someone. And in the Old Testament, the word esso is used to describe the innermost place of the temple. And if you didn't know this already, the innermost place of the temple is where God's holiness resided, where His very presence resided. And so God wants to strengthen us. He wants to give us resilience with His power, with His very presence and being in our innermost being, in the most holy places of ourselves, with Him just being with us. And then verse 17 continues, so then Christ will make His home in your hearts. Not just come visit for a few days, not just check in and spend a bit of time with you, but He is going to make His home reside with you in your hearts as you trust Him. Then your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. That is a great imagery for resilience, isn't it? Roots going down deep into what? Into God's love to keep us strong. So Paul here in his letter to his church is stating that he's praying for God from God's glorious riches that he would strengthen believers with power through his Spirit in their innermost being, the innermost spaces of who they are at the very core and center of who they are, so that we can grow deep roots, be firmly rooted, even be resilient in his love for us. That's a powerful picture. And when it comes to bouncing back, or as Andrew said last week, maybe we're now calling this bounce forward, which is just as good. When it comes to resilience, there's no better way, there's no more life-giving way than to rely on the inner strength that God gives to each of us through his Spirit and through his love as we trust him. And again, I'm not saying this, I'm not up here talking about this because I have this all figured out or do it perfectly. I'm growing and failing and learning along with our whole community. But I have learned this, and this is what I want to share. If you want to be resilient in anything from God's perspective, if you want to be resilient in anything from God's perspective, including finances, let him give you inner strength through his Spirit. Let him give you inner strength through his Spirit so that you can know how massive and unending and inexhaustible his love is for you. And that does include you, his love for you. So that's resilience and trusting God. But what about resilience from a financial specific perspective? What does the Bible say about that? Well, it does say a lot, actually. But there is also a challenge. There's a challenge when we come to that perspective. And that challenge is that the Bible seems to care very little about building wealth or finding ways to use money to feel secure. The Bible seems to care very little about building wealth or about finding ways to use money to feel secure. And let's be honest, that's counterintuitive to how our society tends to think about financial resilience, isn't it? Good money management, things like using a budget, earning a high wage, saving or investing for the future, is how we in our society, it's how we often try to create stability and how we understand financial resilience. Now, no offense to the money managers in the room, but that's not how Jesus taught. Now, if today you are here hoping to get some tips on tools and how to get out of debt, how to learn how to budget, we're going to get there. We're going to touch on a few of those things. We'll mention a bit more about our financial health course as well, which is starting this Thursday, and I really want to tell you about. We're going to cover some of those practical things. But first, before we get into that, we need to settle into the paradigm shift from our modern perspective to a biblical one. So we're going to have to shift how we think about that. And what that means is we're going to have to think through trust and wisdom and generosity. We're going to have to shift our thinking into trust and wisdom and generosity. Trust in God that he does, in fact, care for us. Wisdom, recognizing that everything I have is from the Lord and that it belongs to him. And then generosity, choosing to give and receive and extending resilience together. So this is a theme of the scriptures, and I want to hopefully just show us a few examples from each of these through trust with their money, wisdom with their money, and then also generosity with their money. Because trusting God means believing that he cares for us. It means knowing that our struggles and our burdens, they don't mean that he's abandoned us, but rather the truth is that when we're in a time of crisis or a time of joy, wherever we land, that he is aware of you and he loves you. That's putting trust in God. Some of the scriptures that help flesh this out. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says this, and God is able to bless you abundantly. Why would he do that? Because he loves you. He's able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all time, whether you're going through a time of great joy or great struggle or some mix of the two, having all that you need, you will be able to abound in every good work because God delights in you. He loves blessing you because he loves you. Luke 12, Jesus talks about this. Jesus says, but seek his kingdom and all these things will be given to you as well. All these things are the things we need for life, food and water and clothing. And then he says, do not be afraid, little flock. What a beautiful term of endearment, of love. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your father has been pleased to give you the kingdom, to give you everything in his kingdom because he loves you. And of course, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, for many of us this will be familiar. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Put your trust in him. Don't lean on your own understanding, your own perspective of what's happening. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. He will make you prostrate. But then to do that, to do this, to actually trust God in this way will mean shifting our mindset. We don't just decide to trust God. We have to actually shift our mindset from a scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset. We're going to shift from a scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset. Because when we look at the stories where Jesus talks about money, well, they aren't really about building wealth or creating financial stability for ourselves, but instead, they come to a point of how Jesus teaches about money. And some of the most direct teachings of money can be found in what we call the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And Jesus is very directly here in Matthew chapter 6, and Luke also records this in Luke 16. Jesus says, "You cannot serve both God and money." You cannot serve both God and money. That's the NIV translation. The NLT says, you cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. And then the New American says, you cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve God and wealth. And looking at the Greek word there again, the word here for money and wealth is mammonos. Mammonos. And interestingly, that word comes from a word that means trustworthy. It means trustworthy, as in mammonos and money and wealth wants to be seen as trustworthy. And we actually, in our English language, we see some similar themes the way we talk about money. Take the idea of having credit, for instance. If someone is credible or something is credible, it's trustworthy. We can rely on it. We can depend on it. And yet we have something, the word like creditor, someone who lends, usually money, based on trust. Based on a reliance. Or how about credit card? That's an obvious one. Essentially loaning money on trust and essentially a lot of interest as well. Or how about bank? How about bank whose business is money? We say things like, you can bank on it. You can bank on that. What does that mean? It means that you can trust it, or you can be sure that you can have confidence in this event or this person or this thing. The point here in all this is that when Jesus taught, and for us as well, even in our language, we're hinting at how money wants to convince us that it can offer us stability, safety, and security. That money wants me to believe that it can be trusted to give me security. Isn't that interesting? That money wants me to believe that it can be trusted to give me security. But because money is fleeting, meaning that it never satisfies, but always leaves us feeling like we need just a little bit
more.
Yeah, exactly. We know it. You guys were just nervous to say it. I knew you knew the answer. Don't worry. It never really satisfies. It leaves us feeling like we need just a little bit more. It works to convince us that there is not enough, that we don't have enough. Money actually is speaking from a scarcity mindset. And can we see how this causes problems for us? When we put our trust in money for security, then what money does is it gets us to start thinking about what we don't have, what we don't yet have, because there is scarcity. So we think there's not enough, which makes us feel like, well, I need to put more trust in money. I just need more of this money, which makes us then realize how little we might have compared to whatever else. And it's just this empty cycle, isn't it? This is why Jesus says that we can't serve both God and money. And it's because they lead to very different places. It's as straightforward as that. Jesus invites us instead into a life of resilience through trusting not in money, but resilience through trusting in God, believing that He cares for us and knows our needs, and that God is always enough, able to fulfill us in ways that wealth and money never, ever can. The Bible's theme in all this is a question. We could summarize it this way, is why chase after security through things that are ultimately insecure? Why chase after security through things that are ultimately insecure? This is why Paul, the apostle, writes to his friend Timothy saying this, literally says, teach the rich not to trust in their money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. And Proverbs 23:5 says, in the blink of an eye, wealth disappears, for it sprouts wings and just flies away like an eagle. The Bible's message is don't trust money for security or stability, because it cannot deliver on what it promises. And instead, put your trust in God. Put your trust in God. Now, this is easy to say when you have money, right? What about when you're on the other side of the spectrum? What about when maybe you're living, as so many in our community and in our church even are, living paycheck to paycheck? Maybe we're facing the loss of our job, or maybe we've just lost our job. Maybe the cost of everything just constantly seeming to go up and up is just getting overwhelming. And for those of you, those of us in that spot, before anything else, I just want you to know this, because this is important for us to hear and to know and to receive, that God is especially aware of and fond of those who are struggling. That God is especially aware of and fond of those who are struggling, those who are overwhelmed, and those who have heavy burdens placed upon them. And let's face it, when we're going through financial struggle and financial strain, we know that is a heavy burden and a heavy struggle, isn't it? To those people, Jesus says, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke doesn't even add that in spirit part. He just says, blessed are the poor. That God sees those who are struggling. God sees those who are straining to make ends meet. And then Jesus also says, come to me, you who are weary and have heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come to me with what you are struggling with the burdens that you're feeling of any sort, including financial, and I will give you rest. And though it can seem a lot easier to go through life with money, Jesus reminds us to trust God whether we have abundance in money or whether we have very little. He is telling us that true security is in God, that it's in God. And that is, hey, that is a challenging message to hear. But Jesus is committed to a perspective that trusts the generous God of all creation to care for us, trusting that he will provide for our needs, and even allow us to be generous with what he's given us. That's where Jesus is leading us, to say we can trust God to provide for our needs, and then even in what he gives us, whether it's a lot or a little, that he can even lead us to be generous with whatever we have. But then how does that work? How does that actually happen? Well, for that, I want to share with you a few things about how we move into using money with wisdom. We start with trusting God to provide for us, and then with what he gives us, we move into using that with wisdom. And these things work for us all, whether we have a little or a lot in terms of what Jesus calls earthly wealth, because it's about recognizing that what we have is from God, and that we can trust God to care for us with whatever it is that he's given us. So whereas we trust God to provide, then we use wisdom with what he gives us. Because financial trials, hey, they are going to happen, either because of choices that we have made or choices that someone else have made. We will face financial challenges. And unless you have some magical ability to grow money on trees, having some sense of how to prepare in healthy and wise ways for when financial challenges arise, that's just going to be healthy. And I know I just spoke about how money isn't meant to be our source of stability. I just said how we can see Jesus teaching that, you know, money can't offer us security that it claims. And all this is true, but at the same time, being able to use money for good is a very important truth, that we want to manage our money rather than be managed by it. This is something that the Bible also talks positively about and teaches about, and it calls this wisdom. So how do we do that with wisdom? Wisdom allows us to prepare for financial crisis. The first thing we can do is simply plan ahead. We just start by planning ahead. We need to be aware of money and our use of it. That's what we call budgeting. That's simply it. And if you're unsure how to budget, if you're unfamiliar with it, maybe no one's ever told you or taught you how to do that, because let's be honest, it's not a normal thing, an automatic thing. If you're unsure how to do that, that's fine. I just want to suggest a simple way, a very simple way of how to start. We start by simply figuring out first how much money we regularly have coming in, whatever that means. How much money do we have coming in every month? And then we figure out how we will allocate that money in three categories: how we will share, how we will save, and how we will spend. How we will share and save and spend. And I put them in that order because I believe that that truly is the healthiest and most honoring way to think about the money that we've been given. That it's truly the most honoring way to think about the money that we've been given. What do I mean by that? That our money is not really ours. That if we are trusting God to provide for us, then what we receive is from him, which means it's not truly ours. It's actually meant to be shared with others. Proverbs 3 verse 9 says this: honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your crops. With what you first bring in, honor the Lord with your wealth, with what you first bring in. The first thing we think about is sharing. And when we hear that term, honor the Lord, that always has to do with treating others with justice and with care. That's what that phrase is leading us towards. Jesus was once asked, what's the greatest commandment? Many of you know this story. What's the greatest commandment? And he says, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I think everyone expected him to stop there, but he kept going. He says, and the second is like it. It's just as great. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus is not teaching, he's not just making this up. He's actually teaching this from the Old Testament, where there are these themes of gifts and tithes being brought to the temple at the time that they have, and that money being used to care for those in need. And so budgeting starts with sharing, but then we also save. We plan for a rainy day. We want to be aware of future needs and expenses, because as many times as we sometimes think, oh, I didn't think that was going to happen, there are so many things that we can plan for. We can plan for. Proverbs 6 and Proverbs 30, they use these really helpful word pictures of looking to the ant, of looking to the ant, of how they're so small, and yet even bit by bit, they're able to save up enough food to get them through the whole winter. It's kind of like planning for a rainy day. And saving for us, we can do that as well. Planning ahead, thinking ahead, putting a little bit of money aside for things that we need and even things that we want. We can save for big things, long-term things like school, like a vacation, like a car. We have different needs and wants with these things. We can also save for shorter-term things like tires for your car. If you have a car, you know that at some point those tires are going to have to get replaced, and you can think ahead and be like, I'm going to have to do this in such and such a time, so I'm going to put a little bit of money away so that when that need comes, that money is there. Maybe you need to buy a new guitar. You know, maybe you're a musician and you need that guitar. That's part of your livelihood, so you're going to save for that need. Maybe you just really want to play guitar and you love doing it, so you're going to save ahead for that want. Or maybe you're saving for a puppy. And let's be honest, depending on the kind of person you are, that's either a want or a need, right? Let's be honest. The point is that they're going to be different for everyone. There's not a right or wrong way to allocate for a budget. The point is to plan ahead and decide how much to put away and for how long, so that we can be prepared with wisdom. So we share and we save, and then we spend. And since we're using money with wisdom, this doesn't mean that we're gonna just, hey, I get to spend on whatever I see. This still equals planning out and being able to say yes to the things that matter in our life. The point of a budget is not to hold back and restrict us. It's actually meant to free us to be able to say yes to some really great things. My 11-year-old daughter, not too long ago, she let me know that when she gets older, in her budget, she's gonna have a line for cheese and a line for honey. Right? Which did two things for me. One, it made me really proud. I was like, oh good, at 11, you're thinking, planning ahead with money. And two, it made me realize I may be freaking out a little bit too much at home about how much cheese and honey cost. Right? So I need to tone it down and not freak out when she breaks out a chunk of cheese to snack on it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's $5. I'm not joking, I've done that. It's not healthy. Planning ahead and using wisdom means thinking about your budget. It means thinking about your budget, looking ahead. It means looking at what you earn and what you spend. But then what happens when your expenses are bigger than your income? As someone after the first service said, what happens when you get to the end of the month and you run out of money? How did they say it? I'm screwing it up. Do you get to the end of the month and there's money left, or you get to the end of the money and there's month left? That's how they said it. Wish I did that right the first time. Are you tracking what I'm saying though? I haven't lost you? Okay. What do we do when our expenses are greater than our income? Now obviously, you know, it would be great if we could just flip a switch and suddenly have more income, but that's not something that we're able to do very easily. So we have to do something very specific and simple and straightforward, but it can be challenging, and that's lower our expenses below what we make. This is called living within our means. And obviously, let's just be honest about this, is getting harder and harder to do. We don't get to choose the prices at the grocery store. Prices of pretty much everything else seem to continue to go up, while what we earn continues to stay the same. I get it, we're all facing this. And the reality is that many of us feel like we're just living paycheck to paycheck or having to decide between which needs to go without this month. That is an incredibly difficult place to be. So if that's you, if you're struggling financially because of high costs and lack of income, this next part might not be for you. And so I don't want to put any blame or shame into this. However, if our financial strain is at least partly due to our financial decisions, we want to take responsibility for that. And there's at least one thing we can do, which, as I said, is just living within our means. Proverbs 21:20 puts it this way: "The wise store up choice food and oil. The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down." The wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. What this means is, don't spend everything you have and beyond. Don't just keep on buying because you can. And again, credit cards allow us to do a lot of that. But this is why credit card debt is such an issue in our society, in our culture. And it's why we are offering, in, at least in part, our financial health course. Because we know that the strain of managing money, we know that the strain of getting out of debt is really challenging. We don't always know what to do. So the financial health course, this is my invitation for you to come be part of that. If you want to learn more about things like getting out of debt, if you want to learn tools and strategies to get out of debt and stay out of debt, if you want to work on changing your relationship with money, changing the dynamic that you or your household or you and your kids or just you have with money, this can be great whether you're long into life or whether you're just stepping into that adult reality of having a budget. Or it can be budgeting so that you can be more financially generous. Please consider signing up for this 3-week course. It is 100% free, and we would love to have you join us. I get to lead at this time, and it's happening on Thursday. It's also confidential. What that means is that you never have to share your financial reality with anybody else. You're going to have to be honest with yourself about that financial dynamic, but we're not ever asking you to share something that you don't want to. It runs Thursdays, May 8th. 15th and 22nd, that's starting this Thursday. You can sign up. There's information to sign up in the companion guide there at the back of the Welcome Center. If you don't have one, you can find out how to do that. You can find the information on Bethany's website, or you can just come find me after the service. So that is my quick invitation to everyone here to please consider coming to the Financial Health Workshop. Sign up so that I can be prepared with our resources for you and make sure that I'm ready for you. And so you can come learn more about how to use money with wisdom so that you can manage your money, as we said, rather than being managed by it. So biblical financial resilience is what? It's about trusting God to care for us. It starts there. And it's then using wisdom with what he's given us. But then why manage money with wisdom if it's not meant to build wealth, right? And this is where we get into the biblical idea of financial resilience as something that should be understood communally, not individually, where we shift not only from a scarcity to an abundance mindset, but we shift our thinking from individualistic to communal. Because even as Jesus and the Bible clearly teach the importance of trusting God over money, we also find Jesus and his church using money in generous ways to help each other. And they do this exactly because they understand that though we don't serve money, it can be used as a tool to serve the needs of others. And this is so neat, this is often how God chooses to provide for us in our needs, through the generosity of one another as we trust God and use wisdom with our money. So here's some examples from scriptures that we have. In Acts 2, we have some great stories of how the church began. And they were practicing very practically, following the footsteps of Jesus. How do we practice generosity? How do we practice trusting God? They were giving money. They were selling possessions. Someone even sold land and brought that money so that the needs of the community could be met. Paul the apostle and other apostles, they took up collections in some of the churches that they had in some cities to provide money for churches that were really struggling in other cities. They were going to meet practical and financial needs. Even Jesus and his mission was supported by the financial contributions of others in his sphere. And this is why we at Bethany, we have our benevolence fund as well, where we receive donations from our church above and beyond what we normally give here so that those funds can be used to help meet practical and financial needs right here in our church family so that we can care for one another and provide for one another. What am I saying in all of this? It's that if we're going to understand God's abundance, if we're going to shift to that understanding, if we're going to understand God's abundance and move away from a scarcity mindset, If we're going to develop financial resilience, not only do we have to put our trust in God's goodness and generosity toward us, we have to accept that God's generosity often comes through his people. That God's generosity often comes through his people. We have to shift our understanding to see financial resilience as not being individual, but communal. What that means is that if I'm feeling financially resilient, but you aren't, then in biblical terms, we don't yet have financial resilience because we are a community together. So here's what I want you to do in just a moment. I'm going to get you to do this for real. You're going to turn around and you're going to look at one another. I want you to turn around in a moment. You're going to shift in your seats. I want you to make eye contact with someone down the row. Turn around, look back a few aisles, look across the room. All right, I'm going to tell you why you're doing this in a second, but right now, start turning around, wave to someone, say hi, look down the row, make eye contact, give the peace sign, a little bit of, hey, I see you, how are you, look across. I know this is awkward for some of us. That's okay. It's going to be a little awkward. Just for a moment, see one another. Apologies to those who are here for the very first time. This is probably not what you expect. Welcome to church. There you go. Why did I do that? Because we are a community together. The biblical perspective of financial resilience is about trusting that God will generously provide for our needs, yes. But very often, with a variety of our needs, he chooses to provide for us through one another, through the people that you just looked at, and through you to them. Because biblical financial resilience is communal. It's us together. Because we know everything we have is from him and not truly ours, but that does not mean that we can only... Everything we have is from him and not truly ours. That's a really good truth. And we can share together as a community. But then the question comes up, does that mean that we can only be generous if we have earthly wealth, if we have that kind of money? Thankfully, the answer is no. Generosity is never measured solely by the amount of money given. Let me say it this way. There can be a large sum of money donated or given or gifted, and it has nothing to do with generosity. And there can be a very small gift given, and it can be extremely generous. Jesus taught this one day when he saw some super wealthy giving their gifts at the temple. Picture bags of coins being dumped into this bowl. It's just cash upon cash. And then he sees this old woman walk in and literally put two copper coins into the offering bowl. And Jesus says, I tell you the truth, he says to his followers. This poor widow has put in more than all the others. And what this means is that being generous here in our church with one another, being generous as a follower of Jesus, it might mean sharing large sums of money. That's true. But more likely, it'll mean sharing a variety of things. It'll mean sharing time, resources, care to one another, and also money at times. But whatever is generous for you out of what God has given you, as the scriptures say, God loves a cheerful giver, not given out of compulsion or being forced to, but out of what we have because we've trusted God to provide for us. And this is important because for those of you who are barely getting by financially, for those of us who are trying just to make it to the end of the month once again to have enough money in the bank, as well as those who feel completely secure in their financial situation, if we are followers of Jesus, the framework of all of this is always the same. We practice trusting our generous God to care for us. We trust him above anything else to care for us. And then we have wisdom to know that everything we have is from the Lord, that everything we've been provided is from him. And that lets us move into cultivating generosity in our relationships with one another in our church so that needs can be met. So you can probably picture this. We start with trusting God, depending on him for everything we need, which leads us into saying, okay, if you've given me everything, then I want to use it with wisdom. I want to use it the way you've taught me to. Which then allows us to move into generosity, to saying this isn't only mine, but this is meant to be used to care for others. And when we're generous, guess what? That leads us back into trusting God, because generosity can be costly, which leads us back into using wisdom, back into generosity and trusting God in this beautiful cycle. As I've mentioned a few times now, I'm not sharing this because I've got it all figured out. This isn't me telling you, hey, follow me. I'm learning and failing and growing along with all of us together in this. So I'm not asking you to listen to me. I'm asking us to listen to Jesus so that we can know that true financial resilience is something we experience and practice together as we trust God with our money and as we use wisdom with it so that we can be generous with one another and experience more of what God's goodness and his care for us will look like. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you that we have you to depend on. Thank you that we can trust you in our own lives, and we can trust you as a church. We can trust you as a community. And so we pray for wisdom to know how to do that. We pray for an openness to you, to trust that you care for us, that you see us, that your love is enough, but then also that you're going to provide for our needs, that we can depend on you, that we can have then your wisdom. And we pray that you lead us to be people of generosity with one another, yes, with our money, but also, Lord, with our attention, with our compassion towards one another, with our availability towards one another. We can be a church that serves you faithfully out of what you've given us, which just brings us back into trusting you. We pray that you lead us in that today. We pray that you give us opportunities to practice that this week so that people that don't know you yet can be inspired and awed at what you are doing in us and that we can invite them to follow you as well. And we pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to finish off this morning with a bit of a benediction from the verse in Ephesians that I read when we started. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he, God himself, will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, get this, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is for us, for you, for me. Before we go, please remember that our prayer room is open to the left here. If you have a need whatsoever, or if there's something you're celebrating and want to pray about, you can go through the room there and pray. If you want to practice generosity financially at our give wall, you can go to the green give wall and do that. Or if you want to learn about that, or if you want to practice generosity in another way, you can go into the foyer and start up a conversation with someone, ask them how they're doing, welcome someone who you don't know and get to know them a little bit. And then also remember to sign up and register for the financial health course. I would love to have you join us there. We have a few spots left, so please come join us for that. But beyond all that, my hope and my prayer, my encouragement is that we continue to put our hope in Christ, that our roots would go down deep into his love this week so that we know that he loves us and that we find strength and resilience out of all he is and brings us. Grace and peace, everyone.